You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Week one of the college football season is in the books, and that's what we're going to talk about on this next segment. Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and we're going to bring in a first-time guest on the show today. He covers the Miami Dolphins and the Miami Hurricanes, so, of course, we're going way south here. He also writes for Athlon Sports, ProPlayersInsight.com, and the Palm Beach Post, and you can also listen to him on 790 The Ticket, so he's a very busy man. We have Antoine Staley joining us over the phone right now. Antoine, it's great to get you on today. Thank you for the time.
All right, thank you, Jordan. I'm glad to be on for the first time.
Yeah, it's great to get you on. It's definitely been a long time coming. Antoine and I, we kind of have a few mutual friends. That's how I've connected with Antoine all the way down in Florida. Now, Antoine, we got to dive into it because I know you got to cover the Miami Dolphins here in just a bit. You'll be at practice, and we don't have a whole lot of time. So let's dive into college football. Week one, a lot of interesting matchups, to say the least. Last night, we had Florida State and Ole Miss. This is a team I know in Florida State that you're very familiar with. 30 unanswered points last night to come back and get a victory. Definitely sending a statement. You and I were talking off of the cuff. Jimbo Fisher makes some brilliant, brilliant second half adjustments, and because of that, Florida State is unbeaten.
Yeah, he's done that in the past, especially against the University of Miami, which that doesn't make people down here in South Florida too happy. But this guy, you may feel like you have him just where you want him, but then again, he just pretty much changes the question. And that's exactly what he did. He pretty much made great second-half adjustments and really made the game easier for his redshirt freshman, DeAndre Francois, who I thought was just really, really great. And especially Florida State threw a touchdown pass before the half, and Francois took a big hit. And I think that really changed the momentum of the game because without that touchdown, I don't feel like Florida State has that momentum going into halftime. And it also gave Francois some confidence. And the teammates seemed like they really rallied around the young guy. And that was a big throw. And he took a lot of big hits from Ole Miss. But he stayed up. He kept his composure. And he was really great. It was really reminiscent of Jameis Winston 3 years ago. Even though Jameis played a lesser opponent in Pittsburgh. But he was a cool, calm, and collective as well. So I definitely think Jimbo Fisher found himself a quarterback. And we'll see how this goes with Florida State going forward. They definitely have some big games coming up against North Carolina, against my University of Miami down here in South Florida, and ultimately against Clemson late in October.
Yeah, going into this year for Florida State, there was a lot of hype around Dalvin Cook, and rightfully so. Cook didn't have a bad night. I mean, he had 91 yards off 23 carries. He did have that little bluff as he was going into the end zone, and he fumbled the football as he was trying to switch hands and walk in two-handed. I don't know why what he was doing in that particular instance. I mean, but really, you bring up DeAndre Francois. I mean, this kid completes 65% of his passes last night, throws for over 400 yards and two scores, and he runs for another 59 yards, Antoine. This kid put up, it was like a Heisman-type performance for him.
Yeah, Francois was just great last night, and the thing that really stood out for me, Dalvin Cook. I was impressed with Dalvin Cook as well because of what he was able to do in the passing game for Florida State. And I know he had like 7 or 8 catches with over 100 yards receiving, and that impressed me more because in the NFL, especially the way the game has changed, you have to have a running back that can catch the ball out the backfield. And for me, that was more impressive than him just running over 100 yards or 200 yards or what we're accustomed to seeing with Dalvin Cook, which we know he can do. But last night just showed how much more dynamic he can be and made him that much more of a scout, much more of a prospect in the NFL.
Let's talk about a couple of teams that suffered losses. I want your perspective. Who had the worst loss this weekend for a top 10 team? Is it LSU, Oklahoma, or Notre Dame?
I would say LSU. Well, the test is Notre Dame. I guess if you're talking about rankings, it would definitely be Notre Dame. But I feel like the LSU loss was more alarming. If we talk about a team that a lot of people had high expectations of. People thought that was Alabama's main competitor in the SEC. Alabama may not have a competitor, a main challenger in the SEC, but if they did, especially in that division, I probably would lean towards Ole Miss, considering Ole Miss is, one, they've beaten twice the past 2 years, and two, even though Ole Miss lost last night, I still feel like they have Chad Kelly and some great defensive players there, and they could definitely challenge them. So LSU, that loss, which is, it seems like they have, they're running the same offense that they have the past few years. So I don't understand it. They don't have a quarterback still. They have a lot of great skill position players. And it's going to, and Wes Miles is definitely back on the hot seat. We're talking about a coach that a lot of people, like, they begged, a lot of fans were kind of even, you know, they were 50-50 on bringing back. And ultimately, the fans just bought in and said, you know what, let's give this guy one more chance. But now, with this bad loss to Wisconsin, he might not even make it out. He might not even finish the season. Because they have to play Alabama, they have to play Florida, they have to play Ole Miss. They got a lot of tough opponents they have to play. And if their offense looks as bad as it did against Wisconsin, and not to take anything away from the Badgers, they played a really good game. But I was just I think that was very alarming, especially the first game of the season when everybody thought LSU was just going to have their way with the Badgers.
Again, our guest right now is Antoine Staley. He covers the Miami Dolphins and the Miami Hurricanes in South Florida for Athlon Sports, ProPlayersInside.com, and the Palm Beach Post, and you can also listen to him on 790 The Ticket. And with that being said, you brought up Notre Dame, and this is why this loss for the Irish on Sunday is so crucial. Again, they are an independent school, and you lose to a Big 12 school. Last year, it came down to Notre Dame in the Big 12. It came down to Oklahoma. Well, it would have come down to Notre Dame and Oklahoma had Notre Dame finished off Stanford. This is a huge loss, considering they don't have a conference, yeah. Antoine.
Yeah, it definitely would have. And, yeah, the Notre Dame loss, that was a great game, first of all. That's one of the that could be right now, you look at it, maybe the game of the year. And I know we got a long way to go, but that's going to be definitely, when you look back at this college football season, that's definitely going to be one of the games of the year. Brian Kelly, for years, they've won two quarterback systems, and for years, I never understood it, whether it be whether no matter what the quarterback would be, he would take one guy out, put the other one in. I remember Golston was at school at times, and when Golston was there, would have a really good drive, and then he would put somebody else in, and it just kind of bogged up my mind. It's kind of the same thing here. Kizer is definitely the better of the two quarterbacks, at least right now. I think he's a legit NFL prospect, and he just ran down the field and scored a touchdown just almost immediately. That drive would seem almost flawless. And then he goes back with Zaire, and the offense just wasn't clicking the same. So he tries to be too cute and tries to outcoach himself at times, and he definitely did there. So they need to pick one guy and one guy only and just kind of roll with it. And I think Notre Dame is still a 10-win team, and even though they had a loss. But Texas, I think that might have been their coming out party. Charlie Strong has been on the hot seat. And he's taking a lot of criticism, but it took him time to get his recruits in there. We're talking about Matt Brown really left a cover bear in Texas, if you can believe that. But now we're starting to see the fruits of Charlie Strong's labor, and I think look at that could be a big moment for Charlie Strong in that Texas program. They look like they could possibly win the Big 12, but we'll see. It's a long way to go, but they definitely could challenge Oklahoma for that title. And that game in Dallas, the Cotton Bowl, is going to be really telling.
Let's talk about a game that took place later on Saturday night. Clemson and Auburn. This was a game that I expected Clemson to go in and just bulldoze Auburn. Deshaun Watson is a very good football player, Heisman front runner in a lot of spectators and media members' minds. He didn't forget how to play football in the offseason. That pretty much means that Auburn's got a pretty good defense, and maybe we weren't giving them enough credit.
You look at the Auburn defense, they've really made some strides. They've really improved, and they were flying around the football really did a good job containing that Clemson offense. And I think it was more or less what they were doing. And a lot of people are not giving credit to the improvements they've made defensively. I know Deshaun Watson and that Clemson offense, a lot of people expect them to score 50, 60 points on Auburn, but that's a good quality defense they were playing. Just Auburn's offense wasn't up to par. And that's been a big problem with Gus Miles all in that offense, the Auburn program. They hadn't been able to find a good quarterback. And you would think that with such an offensive mind with Miles on, that they will eventually find somebody that can run that offense. But that hasn't been the case in a few years, since 2013 when they played Florida State the national championship. But I give a lot of credit to them. Deshaun Watson and Clemson, I believe they'll be fine. It wasn't as bad as Tennessee almost losing to Appalachian State. I never felt like Auburn was going to win that game, whereas Appalachian State and Tennessee, I thought the Mountaineers had a really good shot to beat the Volunteers that night, and it just it just wasn't meant to be. The clock management was pretty bad. But if I'm a Clemson fan, I wouldn't worry too much about that close game.
Antoine, it was great to get you on the show today. Great to get your insight. Where can the listeners find more Antoine Staley?
You can find me on Twitter, Antoine Staley, AntwanStaley, and you can also find me, I'm on Facebook. You can find my articles on the Palm Beach Post and also Athlon Sports. I write nationally for them, covering all different types of teams, and also Pro Player Insiders doing Dolphin stuff. So you can definitely find me at a variety of places.
Antoine, definitely hoping to get you on again next week and breaking down week two. I appreciate the time today. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jordan.
All right, that's Antoine Staley joining us to talk a little college football. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM.